I'm here this morning in the KSJD studio with Sarah Burak, the education director of the nonprofit organization Bears Ears Partnership. Welcome in, Sarah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Bears Ears Partnership is a local nonprofit based in Bluff, Utah. We were formerly Friends of Cedar Mesa, so people might recognize that name. But since 2010, we've been working for the conservation of the greater Bears Ears region. And we do that through a couple of different ways. We work to elevate Indigenous voices and perspectives. We have a conservation team that's working on the landscape. They're doing things like trails and fence work and site stabilization. I work in education, and we do a lot of educational outreach, both to school-age children, but we have colleges that come. We have stewardship projects. We also have the Bears Ears Education Center in Bluff that does a lot to help people know how to visit respectfully, which is one of our campaigns is Visit with Respect. And so when you're out on the landscape, how do you visit a high desert ancestral landscape respectfully? And that's one of the big things that we promote.
We're here to talk about something really special today, which is that Bluff very recently received an official international dark sky designation and is preparing to host their first dark sky festival this November. Can you share a little bit about what that means for a community to have a dark sky designation, and why was it such a natural step for Bluff to receive one?
Yes, so to get a dark sky designation, a community like Bluff has to demonstrate a desire to maintain and preserve natural darkness. So Bluff is already innately dark. We are a dark community. We're also a very small community. But the big thing that we had to do in order to get our designation is that we had to come up with an ordinance. So we wrote an exterior lighting ordinance that requires lights to be fully shielded. So we're lighting only what needs to be lit when it needs to be lit. We're using warmer color light, avoiding that bright white blue light and looking more at the warm amber colors. And then we're fully shielding so that all of our light is projected at the ground where we need it and not shining into the sky. So over time, we've worked as a community to get that ordinance into place, and then we have the next several years to get everyone to come into compliance. So town properties are on their way to coming into compliance, and then we have all new construction is currently compliant, and as people come into compliance over the next several years, we'll have businesses as well as residents that are working to protect the night sky and basically keeping our lights from shining into the atmosphere around us and pointing down where we need them.
And that's a lot of different people and entities to get on board. So how has the community received all of this?
I think overall the community has been very supportive. We've definitely had to work at it. We had several town hearings and educational seminars where we've really worked to help people understand what we're working towards. But I think overall the community has been very supportive and wants to protect dark skies. So the desire to protect dark skies has been there from the beginning. The means of getting there has been a little bit harder, especially when we talk about things like changing our lights and those things come into a financial reality. But otherwise, I think people have been very positive.
It sounds like you've been a part of this from very early on. How and why did you become involved in the process of Bluff getting their Dark Sky designation, and how are you involved with the Dark Sky Festival?
Yes, I have been very involved for a very long time. I am a dark sky enthusiast, an amateur astronomer, and I have spent the last 15-ish years doing dark sky interpretation and education. So when I came to Bluff, I started just doing star parties and stargazing with the local elementary school. I was an elementary school teacher at the time. And I really wanted kids to know what a cool resource they had. So really trying to engage people into just loving the resource. And then when our town incorporated in 2018, we had to establish our own town council. So we have a town council. We had to make things like a planning and zoning. And I saw planning and zoning as an opportunity to really work towards preserving a resource that I felt was really important to our community. So I was actually chair of planning and zoning in its inaugural phases, and worked on this ordinance pretty quickly because it was something that we had done enough town surveys and enough meetings that I knew that a lighting ordinance was something that would be pretty well received and accepted. Our first ordinance went into effect in 2019. We then got a lot of feedback and we made revisions. So our most recent addition was 2022. Those revisions took in a lot of considerations, especially from businesses, but were also retailored so that we met the requirements to be a dark sky community. It became apparent over the years that having a designation was something that our community also wanted. Like, if we're taking the steps to do this, to protect our night sky, there was a desire to have that recognized. Not only does it recognize the efforts of our community, but also maybe would help draw people to our community to experience this really amazing resource that we have. We received our designation in June 2025, and it's a lot of work from a lot of people, and it's been a process. We've also been doing dark sky monitoring. That's part of the thing you're required to do for your designation. So we've been doing, volunteers have been monitoring our sky glow since like 2022. So we've spent years collecting this data, and that's one of the things that we're required to do now. Now that we're designated, we will continue to collect our sky glow data in perpetuity, and we're also required to do at least 2 educational events for communities so that they understand the importance of dark skies, they understand responsible lighting. The Dark Sky Festival is something that we have played with throughout the years. We've had star parties for years. We have several community events throughout the year. But we're like, a star festival could be a really cool thing to invite others into our community to experience our beautiful night skies. We're a dark sky community. We want to celebrate it. We want people to come celebrate with us.
You spoke to this a little bit, especially in sharing about being a teacher and the education that you do with Bears Ears Partnership and your work with Dark Skies. How has Bluff educated folks and celebrated the uniqueness of their dark skies in the past years? And how has that history shaped the plans for this upcoming festival?
So we did a winter star party in 2016. With the elementary school. And our school is primarily Diné or Navajo. I think like 95% of our school is indigenous. And so one of the things that we've really tried to do from the very beginning is couple stargazing and telescopes with cultural stories. So we've had cultural events where we've invited families and we've shared stories, shared food, and then shared the skies. And we've been doing at least one of those in the winter since about 2016. Over the past 3 to 5 years, we've done at least 2 community events. We still do one at the school every year. So every year we have one at least at Bluff Elementary, and then we have one within the community at the community center in Bluff. So we have it tailored towards families and students, but then we also have one that's open to the general community. That's been going very strong for the last several years. In the past 2 to 3 years, Bears Ears Partnership has officially partnered with the town of Bluff to help provide that programming. So we now do star parties in Bluff, but now we do star parties throughout San Juan County. So we go to Blanding and have star parties. We go to Montezuma Creek. We go to Monument Valley and have star parties so that we're really spreading it out through the community. Just Tuesday night, we were at Gooseneck State Park and had a really good turnout. We got to see comets and meteors and planets. It was really a lot of fun to hang out with other dark sky enthusiasts.
I'd love to hear from the perspective of Bears Ears Partnership, why is it so important to protect the dark skies? Also, from your experience, what's your connection to that and what's your why?
So I grew up in the Southeast, and I had never experienced this kind of darkness. So for me personally, I want everybody to be able to enjoy, to see the Milky Way, to see comets, to see things that I didn't know you could see because there's so much sky glow where I was living. Also, I was living at sea level, so there's also a lot of atmosphere. So there was a lot of sky to look through. One of the cool things about Utah Bluff, but Utah in general, is that we are elevated. So we're higher up. There's less atmosphere for us to look through. We're dry. There's less water particles for us to look through. So we have a lot of really good clear viewing, which is amazing. And we're very, very dark. And Bluff, because we're situated around so much public land and we're a small community, we've remained very dark. So sharing the ability to look at the Milky Way, I think, is my why. Like, I think that's important. As a member of a conservation nonprofit, I think we need to look at it as a resource, right? The night sky is a resource, and it's a resource that we're rapidly losing. Worldwide, I think we're at the point where 80 to 90% of people no longer see the night sky. So I think it's a resource that we need to conserve. It's one of the easiest resources we can conserve. All we have to do is turn our lights off. We don't have to try to separate gas particles from the air or oil from the water. We just turn our lights off and we are doing a very good job preserving a resource. It's also a cultural resource. It is a shared human history that, as we are no longer able to see it, we lose that shared human history. So for not only our indigenous people, but for humans in general, seeing the cosmos, I think, is essential for that connection to who we've been in the past, to our ancestors, but also I think it's inspirational for who we can be in the future.
This sounds like something really wonderful to come and celebrate. Everyone's really gotten on board to make this happen. Can you just give me a little bit of a logistical rundown so that our listeners know what to expect from the flow of events and everything that they can come and experience at this upcoming Dark Sky Festival?
Yeah, thank you for that. So this, I think, speaks to how much we're working together as a community. So it's sponsored by the business owners of Bluff. So it's kind of like our Chamber of Commerce. So the business owners are really backing this. Bearsers Partnership is a partner. But we have people, Utah State Parks is coming to help. We have people from Bureau of Land Management and the National Park Service. It's really a community event. So it's November 14th and 15th. It's a Friday and a Saturday. We'll start on Friday, I think, around 4 p.m. with a couple of talks and presenters, an opening welcome address. And as it gets dark, we'll transition from the community center where the presentations are happening outside, where we'll do constellation tours and star viewing. And then we'll do what we're calling a telescope walk. And we're hoping we'll have 12 to 15 telescopes and operators. And basically, you'll just spend the evening wandering from one telescope to the next, looking at various deep sky objects. And then on Saturday, we have a full day of events. We'll start around 10 and we'll have solar viewing. We'll set up the indoor planetarium. We have an inflatable indoor planetarium. We'll have a couple of different workshops so you can learn to like build your own planisphere. Or if you have kiddos, you guys can paint celestial objects on rocks and do the planet walk. So we'll have a scale model of our solar system so you can walk from, you know, the sun to Mercury to Venus to Earth and have a general sense of what that scale would be. And then we'll have talks on astronomy, general astronomy and viewing, archaeoastronomy. And then our keynote speaker, Nancy Maryboy and David Begay, and they've written a book on the Navajo constellations and stargazing. And then we hope to have Don Mose Jr., who is an elder, sharing Diné star stories. And then that night, we'll transition outside, constellation tours, telescope walk again.
Something that is just standing out to me now is how unique this truly is. And you even said before, 80 to 90% of people don't see the night sky. I'm really amazed at how much you all have put together for this short but really wonderful celebration. And it sounds like it's very family friendly. So bring your kids.
Yes, please bring your kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bring children, bring friends. You know, and then I would say, if you're coming, we do encourage you to stay in Bluff. So overnight with us, so you're not having to drive back to, you know, or camp or get a hotel, but stay so that you can enjoy being there when it's dark.
Sarah, thank you so much for being here and sharing about this event. I hope that some of our KSJD community can be there. Just really appreciate you coming in to share more about our dark skies.
Oh, we're super excited, and thank you for having us.